4, verse 15, "For all things are for your sake," Paul writes, "that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Several months ago, I was having my devotions, and I honestly felt the tug of the Holy Spirit leading me to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. And I realized very quickly at that time that God had confirmed in my heart what the need of our church was and the theme for our for 2017, and that was spiritual renewal. I felt like we've been in existence long enough, and I felt like the Lord had really impressed upon my heart, not just this theme, but the heart of this passage. And without trying to go into preaching it on Sunday, I just want to share some things with you. To renew means to renovate. It means to restore. It means to restore to a former state after a state of decay. To rebuild, to repair, to revive, to make new again, to refresh. And I believe that that's what God was telling me. He said, what you need to do is renew. Though your outward man is perishing day after day, year after year, and the whole passage of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is about ministry, I believe that God was telling me I needed a renewal. And as I sat down that day, I have the journal in my office, I just began to write, and I began to write, and God began to speak to me in Scripture, and I wrote and wrote and wrote, and he gave me these things that you see on the wall, this faith, this vision, this heart, this commitment, as areas that I'm going to preach on in this coming year. For the first 4 months of the year, I'll be hitting every single one of these 3 and 4 times each, because I think that's what we need. From the pastor to the pew, I believe that what we need is what God wants from his church, and that is renewal. I think we need to rebuild our faith. I think there needs to be a restoring of our commitments and dedication and faithfulness. I think he wants us to have a reviving of our soul winning, a repairing of our love for God, a restoring of our yieldedness to the Holy Spirit. And I, by the way, do not believe in coincidence, Brother Rob. I don't think that the prayer requests that were offered tonight were by accident. I think that God put them in your heart because he knows what you need. He knows what we all need. In order to help our church with this endeavor, I'm giving some tools to every family. This devotional was written by Pastor Chappell, and it's 90 days of spiritual refreshment. It's not dated. It just begins when you begin. Now, I'm going to ask you to take it, and I'm going to ask you to begin if you like to. You don't have to. But every family can take one of these and begin on January 1st. And if you do one of these a day, which is not very big, you'll read a scripture, you'll have normally an opening illustration about the truth behind it, and then literally maybe one small paragraph of the Bible application, and then a renewal principle every day. And on the bottom of that, there's the Bible reading schedule that matches the schedule in the book. This is for your family. Brother Steve, this is to help you be the spiritual leader that you prayed and asked God for. And I think that's a wise prayer. Anthony said the same thing. Hey, I want to be a bold witness. But a few weeks ago, you said, I just want to be a good dad to my new baby boy. I think we all need to be reminded. Shall I say it this way? Renewed in that way? We need to be reminded that we need to be renewed in some ways spiritually every single day. This is one of the things. The second thing is there's a 90 days of spiritual renewal booklet that I put together with the help of Ms. Stallnaker this year. And I want to give one of these to every adult and every serious teenager. And I want to go over this with you. If you have it, I'd like you to take it out. And really, this is all I want to share with you tonight, is how to use this booklet and share a couple other things. And I want to just kind of commit this to the Lord. Say, Pastor, why are you doing this now instead of on the first of the year? Because Sunday's the first of the year. I'm going to preach the message that goes with this text, and I'll preach really my heart out and my lungs out and probably my socks off on Sunday morning. And I hope there'll be enough people here who will actually get it. But it's going to require some effort. The booklet's put together in such a way, I think that you'll get it. If you open up just to the second page there, you'll see week 1, January 1 through 7. And I want to talk about the layout first, And then I want to talk about how to use it. You can just look at it very simply. On the top left is normally a quote. And then on the right is a daily meditation verse. The verse there is 16 through 18 is the verses that we read tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And then each and every subsequent week, you'll see another verse and another quote. And you'll see that it's laid out per day, daily Bible reading and personal prayer, places to check. Pray for pastor and family. Pray for your church family. Pray for your individual roles and renewal and renewed devotional. That is an opportunity for you to check and say, okay, I've done this. But it's not about the checklist. It's about your heart. You can get mechanical and become pharisaical. How many know what I'm talking about? Formalists need revival and renewal just like anybody else does. And so that's just kind of the layout. On the side, you have blessings and prayers. But go, if you will, to the very first page. You can read the letter from me tonight after you go home or tomorrow, whatever. But I want to go over getting the most out of your journal real quick. And I want you just to follow along as I read and just kind of share you my heart. What is behind this? Why? How can I get the most out of it? I hope that you don't want to make your faith, your Christian experience, your Christian life, whatever you want to say, your church, liturgical. I hope you don't want to come in every week and kneel down and genuflect and get up and come take communion and get out here and never have any change. Rather, I'd hope that you would come with a renewed mind so that God can renew the inner man, so that you could be prepared every week. And when you come into the house of God, whether it's on Wednesday night or whether it's on Sunday morning or Sunday night, that every time that the Bible is preached or every time you go to your adult Bible class and you hear it taught, that God is speaking to you. Wouldn't that be great? Jacob said, I want to talk to the Lord more. Guess what? He wants to talk to us more. But we have to be listening. So let's just read through these things here real quick. We have to choose, check, challenge, change, and chronicle. Is it any wonder that those are alliterated? Choose. Every day, choose whom you are going to serve. If that's all that was said, that would be enough. Then plan and take action that will evidence your choice. If it's the Lord, then commit yourself to daily and weekly reading His Word and meditating on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. Every day, take time to be holy because it's worth it. We have to choose those things. They don't just happen by osmosis. They don't just happen on accident. You have to choose to do that. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Elijah said to the pagan worshipers of or to the Israel worshipers of Baal, how long do you halt between two opinions? If God be God, then serve him. And they answered him not a word, the Bible says. You have to choose. Then secondly, check. Make sure that every day you check your heart for sin that doesn't belong, your motives that are impure, thoughts unworthy of the Holy Spirit of God. Examine your life before God and ask Him to show you clearly those things that are in need of His mercy, and then go get it. It's yours to obtain through Christ, Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. We have to choose every day. We need to check our lives every day. Then the challenge, during these next 90 days, challenge yourself in an area of spiritual growth, whether it be in the form of greeting visitors at church on Sunday or handing out a gospel tract to a coworker or neighbor, giving to missions or fasting from a meal during the week about a burden. Stretch yourself by faith and watch what the Lord will do through you. My daughter, Miss Fennell, is graciously agreed to give my daughter piano lessons. And she's been wonderful, and she's going at it, and she has a new fervor. We had some friends recently visiting who came for our Thanksgiving service, I think, and accomplished pianist. And one of them said to my daughter, my wife said, is there anything that you could say to her that would help her that helped you when you were her age? And Brother Sam said, yeah. He said, Jenna, do you ever set goals before you start practicing? She was like, no. And I was very curious. I was like, I just thought practice was open the book and practice whatever Miss Diana said. I don't know. And he goes, no, like when you're doing your scales, that you're going to do this many and you're going to do them in this much time. And then you're going to do this and you're going to do this many times and you're going to accomplish this. This is how far you want to get today. And I thought, man, that's exactly what we need in our Christian life, isn't it? To challenge ourselves. There comes a time when the preacher can only do so much. We're supposed to self-feed as Christians. We're supposed to self-challenge. And if you have the Holy Spirit in you like I have in me, He's challenging enough if we'll listen. We need to choose every day, check our life every day. We need to be challenged every day, and then change. The ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be changed in the image of Christ. And by the way, if you're finding the Christian life difficult, that's why. It's because God doesn't want you to be you anymore, and you're kicking against him. Biblical change is at the heart of making disciples. That is exactly what Jesus commanded us to do. If you'll commit these next 90 days to the Lord and do your best to submerge yourself into this booklet, by faith, I believe that you will not only renew your heart for the Lord, but that along with others will also observe a change in your life, and that's a good thing. Wouldn't it be great if your spouse or if your child came up to you and said, you're different. I can tell, or maybe that may not be a good thing to some people, but I can tell the Lord's working in your life. It'd be awesome as a parent to check your children and watch them grow. You know how you put the kid's tick marker in the doorway and you check them after a year to see if they've grown? Wouldn't it be awesome if at 6 months you could tell that your child had grown in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then you marked it? This is how I know, sweetheart, that you're growing. It'd be great to be able to tell that in our own family and have the rapport with one another, to be able to say, I can tell the Lord's working on your heart, and it's awesome, and it's challenged me. Man, that's revival in a bottle. Change, and then chronicle. Use this journal and maybe another book to write down what the Lord is doing in your prayer concerns. As you trust him in your life, you'll be amazed at what he is doing all around you. Remember this, 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, that's just how to get the most out of it. But again, it doesn't happen without you deciding and then taking action that it goes along with those decisions. Turn to the back couple of pages here. You'll see an ending note from me, and then you'll see a page that just is entitled Renewed, and then your individual roles. Many people have never prayed this way. And there's a check. Remember, there's a check mark, checkbox, a box to be checked. There it is. And in each individual week, really in every day, so that you could pray by individual role. You say, what does that mean? Well, I'm a pastor. I'm also a Christian. I'm a friend. I'm a father. I'm a husband. Okay? All of those are my individual roles. And those are going to vary from person to person, but you have a role. If you have children, you're a father. And you're a mentor. You're a modeler. If you're married, you have a spouse. If you have a friend, and I'm pretty sure everybody at least has one, then you're a friend. But you're first and foremost a child of God. And each role dictates what we ought to be praying for and how we ought to operate within that role, and requires attention, and most of all, it requires wisdom and grace. And so when you pray this way, it's just helped me over the last couple of years to pray more focused, more attentiveness, and more specific with the Lord, and saying, God, at any given season of the year, one role is going to require a little more than others, right? And vice versa as you go down. So that's just a place for you to record those. And then the back of some important dates. Now, that's really the heart of all of it, okay, as far as the mechanics go. But the most important part of this booklet is not the calendar of events listed in the back, but the pages that guide you into a closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. It will be the pages that inspire you to grow in grace and knowledge of him, the parts that challenge you to continue. These are just tools. Every single week, you'll have scriptures that you need to go through and that you'll need to check in order to finish reading the New Testament in 90 days. You see now, Pastor, we've done for the last 3 years 40 days of focus, and we've read the New Testament in 40 days. Many of you have done that. How many have ever done that with us when we did it, okay? Many of you have done that, and that's a great and aspiring goal. But here's what I don't want to ask. How many stopped reading it after that? And I don't know. I know of some people that have said they've struggled after that, or they started over, and they've kind of you kind of lose your gusto. Well, I think that the reason that the Lord wanted us to go to this 90 days is because it's a little less reading, pliable, and it extends for a longer period of time so that you can get into a routine. And the longer the routine, the longer and stronger the habit is. It becomes more of a lifestyle. And that's what I'm hoping. What I'm hoping is that each and every day that these tools will be used as they are designed. They're designed to be used together to help any and every Christian who has a heart to grow in grace and make progress in the Christian life. We'll talk about that Sunday night. And I want to challenge you with several verses that might help you make this year different from the last. You might want to write some of these down maybe in the very beginning of this or maybe in the back somewhere. Write Jeremiah 29:13 down. If we're going to renew, this is going to be part of the message on Sunday. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And you shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Write Proverbs 8:17 down. God says, "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." Now, I don't necessarily care, but you could say, "Seek me early." What does that mean? You could argue from Scripture that Jesus rose a great while before day and would apart from himself and prayed. You could say early means early in the day. You could argue that it's also early in your life. I could make a strong case for early in the year, like at the beginning. If I diligently seek him early, I can do it beginning of the year and every day early, because guess what? His mercies are new every single day. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7, if you want to write that down. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." See what happens when you start diving into, God, what's an area of my life that needs to change, and I want to make sure that my heart's clean. God says, "Here's what you need to ask for forgiveness for." And then God says, "I'm ready to pardon it before you even ask. I've already made the blood sufficient enough." Jeremiah 33:3 is another one. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Now, every day of our life, God waits for us so that he can take us to higher ground, so that he can take us farther down the highway of righteousness and make us stronger in the battle and in our relationship with him. And too many Christians over the years have allowed their spiritual life to fall into a state of decay. They've become bitter, cranky, sowers of discord among the brethren. I think all of us would say those Christians need a renewing of their heart for God. And I would say amen. They need a renewing in their heart for God just as much as the functioning Pharisee who sits as a judge in the seat next to them, or the formalist who sits behind them with a form of godliness but with no power. The fact of the matter is every church, every Christian needs renewal. And as we'll see on Sunday, this is not a, "Well, I'll do this and then all year long I'm renewed." No, no, no. Paul said day by day. And we'll talk about that on Sunday. I want to preach it right now, but I'm not going to preach it right now. Remember that all it takes to decay is a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. "So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." We preached on that several weeks ago. What I've been asking the Lord for in my life for the last 3 months is renewal. What I've been asking the Lord for our church is renewal. Renewal in a visible way. Not just, "Lord, I hope they're being renewed," but that it would be manifest. Like Becky wants God to show her this is a divine appointment. I want to see renewal in our church. I want to see it. I want to see people that you can tell they're walking with God. You can tell that marriage is helped. You can tell that child has parents that fear God. But here's our problem. We think it's all up to God when it's really all up to us. We think, "Well, we'll just do this. And if I have the calendar that says renew hanging on the wall and this is on my fridge, and every time I come in, I see this, oh, it'll just happen." Yeah, like the final that you tested for that way, that you studied for that way. No, it doesn't just happen. We're involved. It's called the Christian life. I'm not going to be married very long if I just fend for myself and say, "Well, if I love you, babe, and if that ever changes, I'll let you know." It's not going to be a very good relationship, and Christian's state of grace decays when that's their mentality with God. Hebrews 5:12 says, For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Why? Because you get offended. You start choking on the power of preaching. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them, listen, that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So I agree with the Lord. At the beginning of this year, perhaps you're like me and you need renewal. Your inner man needs to be renewed. That part of your life in Christ that desires God, you know that one. It's the new man. It's the inner man. It's the Holy Spirit of God. That part of your life that desires the Holy Spirit to guide. That part of your life that wants to be with God's people, that wants the word of God, that wants God to be glorified, not your own ego. That's the part. If so, then this Sunday is a perfect time to push the reset button. Turn in your Bible real quick, if you will, to Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Philippians 3, 13 and 14 are verses that I think are always applicable, but I always shuffle to them. They're kind of a go-to thing for the end of the year, the beginning of the year. Paul said to a great church, a group of people, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." Here's the year-end part. Forgetting those things which are behind. Without raising your hand, I wonder how many things we'd like to forget from this past year. Things we've said, things we've done, things we wish would have never happened, and we just need to let them go. Forgetting those things which are behind, notice what it says, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Several years now, many of us have said, we've started out and man, bam, we hit it, 40 days, we focused, at least we've tried. Some people, they fall behind, and then they finish it up, a few days later or whatever. And they started pressing, and maybe this is the way this year started for you. You started pressing toward the mark. You started running. You didn't let any sin or weight so easily beset you. You were running your own race. You were steadfast and unmovable. Can I ask you a question? How long did that last? Because what we need to do is press again. That's what the new year is all about. We look forward to saying goodbye to the old and we welcome in the new. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Well, what does that mean exactly? We really want it to be happy. I wish we could say, I hope it's a blessed New Year. I hope God would be pleased with my New Year. And not just with January 1, because it's a church day, but January 2 through December 31st. I think that would please the Lord. Another year is dawning, dear Father, let it be in working or in waiting another year with thee. Another year of progress, another year of praise, another year of proving thy presence all the days. Another year of mercies, of faithfulness and grace. Another year of gladness, the glory of thy face. Another year of leaning upon thy loving breast. And another year of trusting, of quiet, happy rest. Another year of service, of witness for thy love. Another year of training for holier work above. Another year is dawning, dear Father, let it be on earth or else in heaven, another year for thee. That's what I'm praying 2017 is. I'm praying that every time you open the calendar, you open your refrigerator, you open your Bible, you walk into this building and you open the doors, that you're reminded, I need to be renewed today. I need to be renewed in the inner man because of everything else that's going on around me, because of everything that's going on in me. God's given me some serious revelation in his word this year about what actually lives in me, and it's scary. All that happens around us and all that happens from day to day in ministry and all that happens with day to day with people, though the outward man perisheth, the inward man is renewed day by day. That's the goal, is to say, Lord, I don't want to be the same person as January 1st that I was December 31st. I need to be renewed. And I hope that would be your prayer. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for giving us the opportunity now and the tools set before us for renewal. God, I believe, like I did when I was in Bible college, that revival and renewal not only is necessary, God, it's possible, and you are the one that desires it for us. Lord, you never meant us just to survive another event or survive or just barely make it through a calendar year. God, you told us that we were more than conquerors through Christ. You promised us that we could do all things through Christ. Anything that you have called us to do, the gifts and callings of God, Father, are without repentance. So, Lord, the parts of this last year that we would just soon forget are actually on us, not you. The parts that are going to be for your glory in this coming year, those are the parts that we want to be involved in. Those are the parts that we want to accept. And Lord, that becomes more clear and our perspective changes as we renew day by day. I'm so thankful for a church family that every year, I believe, that wants renewal. Many Christians have I talked to over the years who want the new year to be different. Sadly, Lord, I've watched so many never make that a reality. Would you please help all of us in this room tonight to endeavor and to commit that by the grace of God, we will begin a spiritual renewal January 1st. That each and every day we would be renewed by the power of your Holy Spirit through the eternal Word of God, that we would commit to walk with the eternal Son of God, and that we would be subject to your will, we would acknowledge you in all of our ways, everywhere we are. Lord, that our perspective would be on eternity. And I pray that you'd bless. Lord, I don't know where people are here tonight. I don't know what decisions need to be made. I don't know the prayers that need to be offered up. But I pray that we would accept the invitation to come boldly into the throne of grace. That tonight, even before the new year begins, we would be able to obtain grace and mercy to make it happen. And Father, every commitment, every prayer request, every decision made, that it would be made for your glory and for your honor. Lord, as I open the invitation up in this altar, I pray that you'd have liberty and that you'd help us, Lord, to be very careful of what we say in our hearts unto you. It would be better not to vow than to vow and not pay. But God, I pray that the commitments that we make, we would stay faithful to. We wouldn't allow distraction, the devil, some kind of danger to throw us out of kilter. But we would remain temperate in self-control, ready to prove that our God is faithful. I pray in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I just wondered tonight how many...